Of Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 1-14, and you probably know what's coming. The very dry bones is the title of this message, and the idea is we want to see what God can do in a bad situation. How many's ever been in a bad situation? How many's ever put yourself in a bad situation? Boy, my hands, both of them are up. I've looked back and thought, what was I thinking? Now you probably, just as soon as I said that, you're probably thinking of an old song, Dim Bones. How many remember that? We sing that in grade school. Your toe bone connected to your foot bone. Your foot bone connected to your ankle bone. Your ankle bone connected to your leg bone. So there's a whole bunch of bones connected all the way through. And then dim bones, gonna walk around, and they're very dry bones. I hear the word of the Lord. The secret is to all of them bones is the word of the Lord that changes their situation. And I know that we all run into things that are difficult, and we'll look at that, but let's look at the Word of God. I've chosen the Amplified Version again, verses 1 through 14, and I've read about 6 versions of the Bible, and I think this is the best. This is one of the places where the Amplified doesn't add very much, but it's very descriptive. And it said in verse 1, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones." He set him down in a valley that was full of bones. There had been a lot of destruction in this valley. There had been a lot of lives lost in this valley, and the bones were everywhere. "And he caused me to pass around them, and behold, there were very many." And the Amplified adds, "human bones in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." How many's ever seen a skeleton? You look at that and you think, oh, that was somebody. And these bones represented somebodies, quite a few. I don't know how many. I thought I would take a guess and tell you a number, but I thought better of it. I don't know how many, but there were a lot, because that's what the Bible says. There were very many, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Can you imagine looking at a bunch of bones and asking, can they live? They've already lived, and they've died, and they've gone beyond dying, and they're just the skeleton remains. And I answered, "O Lord, you know. O sovereign Lord, O most high, O mighty God, O God of the army of hosts and all, the mighty one, you know." And again he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, I've heard people make assaults on congregation saying, "Do you hear this word?" But no, not us. We're beyond that. Our situation already is much better than where these dry bones were, because we have life. We have everything that life brings. We have breath. Is there anything that we could use? Yes, because our situation may be like the dry bones. And we don't know what to do, and we don't know how things are going to change. But you know what? We know the God that can bring the life, that can bring the change, that can make a big difference. "Prophesy to these bones. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will make breath enter you that you may come alive. Now, if you breathe into bones, what are you going to get? The breath is going to go through somewhere and not really hold. I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow back on you and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you so that you may come alive and you will know that I am the Lord. A few years ago, Debbie went to a museum that had human bodies that were in different states of no skin and different things. How many seen that? Just two of you. Guess what? Debbie said, do you want to go? And I said, no. I do not want to go. I don't want to see that. But if you were Ezekiel and you were there on that day, you saw it. Because when you have bones and you want them to live, there needs to be some things added to the situation. And first of all, there has to be a coming together of the bones. So verse 7 says, and I prophesied, let me see, put sinews upon you and skin, and I will put breath in you that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. We need to know that He is the Lord. Amen? We need to understand that no matter what the situation is, it could be so desolate as a valley full of dry bones, but our Lord can still handle the situation. So I prophesied as I was commanded. A lot of people begin to prophesy what they want rather than what they're commanded by the Lord. I believe in prophecy, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a wonderful gift. I believe completely in prophecy. But I also know that people get rambunctious in a spiritual fashion or action and say what they want to say. God's not behind that. God's behind what He says and what He instructs us to say. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was, and here's an added word of the Amplified, thundering noise. Can you imagine? I love the sound of water. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, we have a fountain that I try to keep clean so we can hear it at night, just, you know, splashing. Just a little water, just a little sound. But in the ocean, it's so loud that you can't even hardly hear. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Waterfalls. We went to visit Jenkinson Lake that I didn't even know existed. And it's a beautiful lake. And the guy said, there's a waterfall, but you have to walk about a mile. And Debbie and Terry didn't have walking shoes. And although Debbie said, you could go ahead and walk if you want to, because I always have walking shoes. When I'm going anywhere, I'm normally walking, so I have walking shoes. But anyway, I didn't want to take the time. I used to be able to do a mile in about 3 or 4 minutes. Four something, right? Maybe a little under four. Three, I don't know. But now, it's a different story. Probably take me an hour to get there and back, and if I wanted to stay any, it just wouldn't matter. But the sound of water, but the sound of these bones were thundering noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I heard Brother Crabtree from Bethel, right, preaching on this, and he said a lot of people hear the noise and they just stop. That's enough for them, is the noise. It's not enough for us just to hear the noise, just for the bones to come together. We want more. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on the bones, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. I mean, here you have now a body that is complete, and it looks good. It's got everything. I think this was a good-looking army that the Lord was raising up, and everything was fine, but there was no breath. And so the job wasn't complete yet. There needed to be the breath. Sometimes things look good in people's lives, but there's no breath. Oh, I love being Pentecostal. You know why? Because it's breath, it's life, it's a spirit. Praise God. It's awesome. You can have the skin and all the other good stuff. This doesn't even mention hearts and lungs and parts inside, innards. Doesn't mention that, but God put it together, a full body. Just as in the beginning he breathed into Adam and made him a living soul, he said, then prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the spirit. Prophesy to the spirit, and then Son of Man, and say to the breath or to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Now we have the breath. Now we have the life. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. Isn't that amazing? God showed Ezekiel a valley of dry bones everywhere. There were very many bones, and they were dead. They were completely gone. There was no hope. The bone wasn't even together like a full skeleton. But when God began to create the deliverance and the blessing and the restoration, I'm big into restoration these days, because I'm old and I want to be restored. I want strength, knees, and you know, all of these parts get to ache when you get a little older. So I'm all for restoration. I believe in healing. I've always believed in healing. I want to see people healed by the hand of God. Amen? And restoration. Restoration. Whether it be a situation or whether it be our bodies or whether it be our minds, don't you know God is able? Because God, through Ezekiel and this vision, showed us that he can take any kind of situation and change it. I'm going to read the vision explained, and to me, this is not what we want for us, but I just want you to understand the context of the message. I don't like taking things out of and putting them in any order other than what they are. Verse 11 says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Israel was separated and divided, and they were now in captivity. They had been 10 years into a 70-year captivity. 10 years. Jerusalem was burned to the ground, and it was destroyed, and everything was a mess. And God says, this message is to the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are completely cut off. There is no hope. We're like that valley of dry bones. We have nothing. Now, a few years from now, God would send people back to Jerusalem. They would begin to build the walls. They would begin to build the temple. They would begin to see the city come back together. They would populate it, and it would go on for a while until AD 70, when the Romans would destroy it. But the people said, our hope is gone. There's nothing. We're completely cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them. See, here's a situation where God says, I can speak the word and it will happen exactly the way I say. Let them know this. Thus saith the Lord, I'll open your graves and make you come out of your graves. When it seems like that there is no hope, there is no life, there is no good things ever going to happen again. How many's ever felt like that? Nothing good is ever going to happen. I'm up against a wall and I can't do anything. Oh God, have you forsaken me? I mean, I'm sure that there have been thoughts like that we've had. But understand this, when God speaks the word of deliverance, restoration and strength, the things will change. My people, I will bring you back home. This is added by the Amplified Bible to the land of Israel. Then you will know, and again the addition with confidence, that I am the Lord. What did God say to prophesy to the dead bones? I'm going to put breath in you, and you will know that I am the Lord. Oh, don't you? Aren't you glad you know the Lord? We sang, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all. We know the Lord. We have confidence in the Lord. We know that He is able to do this. Know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves and made you come up out of the graves, my people, I will put my spirit in you. And you will come to life, and I will place you in your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and fulfilled it. Let me just say this about the historical point of this message. In 1948, God brought the land of Israel back into existence after nearly a 2,000-year absence from 70 A.D. to 1948. President Truman said when he retired, but anyway, he said, they asked him, what's the greatest thing you've done? He said, help Israel become a nation. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. To help Israel become a nation. And they became a nation. And they have been since a nation, a little nation, in amongst a bunch of people that hate them to an unbelievable degree. Hate them so completely they want to see them annihilated. Guess what? Those haters are going to hate all they want, and it'll not do any good. Because God has already restored the nation of Israel. The nation, the national existence is in place. But wait a minute, we've got another battle to go, and that's during the tribulation. The people of Israel are going to put confidence in the Antichrist, and 3.5 years in, he's going to turn on them and bring destruction. 2/3 of the people of Israel will die and will be destroyed. But God will have a remnant. And that remnant will live in the nation forever. And the Lord will bring to the Israelis an acceptance of Jesus Christ and a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know that the day of Pentecost was great. And the days of Azusa Street were great. And the days that we have now are absolutely awesome. But there's a revival coming to Israel that's going to be maybe more than we've ever seen before. And what I've taught and what I believe is that whatever God's promised to Israel, we can have it in abundance because we belong to Jesus Christ, because we believe He is Lord right now. They're going to have to go through some more trouble. But understand, this is the historical view. But what I want to tell you today is that your worst nightmare may be happening. Your worst nightmare, your situation completely out of control, your health issues, financial, relationships, and spiritual. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I didn't ask Debbie if I could share this, but I'm going to share it. And if you want to correct me later, that's fine. When we were in Texas, we bought our first house. We paid $38,000 for it. I don't know exactly. We bought almost an acre. It's 0.87 of an acre. We subdivided it, and we had a little half acre in the back. I could see, you know, the boys having a quarter acre each and everybody living right there on the property. And this house was not South Fork. Is that the South Fork in Dallas, whatever? This house was a mess. And what I did in my addition made it a little nicer. But when we moved away from the house in 1988, it still had the multicolored shag in the living room. We didn't mess with that. Still had paneling on the walls. Still had drop ceiling that the former owner had put in. It was a mess. But it was because of difficulty of work. There, I calculated if I could have got a job and made $6 an hour, we could have stayed in Texas. But there was no work. We went from being able to have 10 jobs a day. When we first got to Texas in the early 80s, we had one guy that worked on our crew that left our crew in the middle of the day, went over and talked to another crew, and he made a little bit more money, so he got hired on. But he came back to us at the end of the day saying, well, I'm ready to go home. I said, you better go over there and find your new crew, because you left me in the middle of the day. I'm not taking you home. You can walk. But that's how plentiful jobs were. You could get another job if you wanted it, just as sure as the world. You might even make a little bit more money. But all of that came to a real big halt in about, 87, 88? I think 87 is when it slowed down. We did 500 homes a year for Fox and Jacobs, Syntex Builders, whatever. And it dropped down to 20 a year. Boy, that's not even hardly two a month. It was quite a drop. And in that drop, there was times that we got behind I had a situation come where I had written in my journal. I don't have a journal now, but I did then. And I said, things couldn't get any worse. This is horrible. I mean, we were just, there no way we were going to make it financially. And the next day, a sheriff came driving in the yard, and he gave me a notice or summons, something like that, for a judgment against us because of a job that went really south, and it really did. It was a mess. It happened in the beautiful town of Georgetown, I believe, but it was a mess, and we got a judgment. Our insurance company said, no, we don't cover that. We paid them every month. We paid them, and they wouldn't cover us. I don't use that insurance company now, nor will I ever in the future. I pay my workers' comp, or not workers' comp, but general liability, and they better pay up when I need it, or they're going to deal with me. But we got this judgment. It became a problem against our credit, and we finally kind of had to move. We had to come back to California in the late 80s, 88, I think, 89, and we came back, and we were really beaten down financially. We began to work. Debbie got a good job at Ernst & Young, and she's had a good job ever since then. I've been in construction, so mine's been up and down, right? We've had some good times, and we built the big houses, and it's been good. But a few years after we got back, we wanted to buy a house. We wanted to live in the area and be close. And we were renting a duplex on Driftwood, and we had a chance to buy a house, and I said, oh, but that judgment, that's not going to do well for us. We found this house at 56 Cherry Lane. Now, today it looks pretty good, but back then, that was the biggest mess in the world. Becky, you remember that, and Sister Watson? And, oh, my goodness, we bought it, and the people wouldn't move out for a month. They just sit there. I went in there, changed the lock. They called the police on me, and I said, this is my house. I need to get in here. And these were church people, used to go to church here, used to own the lots down at the end of the thing. They were all right, but something was their situation. They said, well, their situation is not ready. I said, I can't help it. I've got to get out. But we did end up, and we bought the house. That judgment went away. How, I have no idea. But God has restored. Now, look at my house in Campbell compared to 109 Moy Street in Round Rock. I'd rather be here. When we were working on that house, one day Debbie's grandma and grandpa, we were adding on a family room and a dining room and a laundry room because it didn't have any of that. And Grandpa Wilbanks, Jim's dad, came over and said, where's your saw? And I said, should be here. I went looking for the saw, and I couldn't find the saw, couldn't find the compressor, couldn't find anything, because the night before, I know that was on a Thursday, because we went to church on Wednesday night, somebody came in and stole all of the tools. So we didn't have anything to work with in the middle of all of that problems, and there are more problems, right? But let me tell you, God, I've got, I've got a lot of saws now. If you need to borrow a skill saw, I've got three. I might even give you one. You can have the DeWalt. I don't like it so good. My skill saw I'm going to keep because I need to cut with it. It's good. But God has restored all of the things, and it took some time. It didn't happen overnight. You know what? What we need to understand is we need to learn from what God is doing. But when God makes a promise of restoration, folks, He's going to do it. Now, we can work, and I can sweep a floor, I can build a house, do whatever, I can do that. But I can't bring healing, but He can. So when He promises He's going to give you strength and healing, you can absolutely count on Him. But where does this power come from? It comes from the Spirit of God that breathes life into any dead situation. And we've all had situations. We've all looked up and said, I can't see daylight. I can't see over this big mountain that is so looming. But let God make His promise. And God will keep His word. God will be faithful to you. Debbie, would you come to the piano? Verse 10 again. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. A great army had been destroyed, but God brought a great army back. And God gave a promise to Israel, about 2,500, maybe 2,800, 2,900 years ago. And part of it's still not going to come to pass for at least seven more years. But know this, that it will come to pass. That it will come to pass. When God makes a promise, and He speaks the word. And you say, well, what about prophecy? If the prophecy is of God, it will come to pass. God is good to do those things. I heard Brother Michael John say the other day, God wants to heal you. You know what? I believe that with all of my heart. God wants to deliver you. God wants to bless your life. Amen? Let's pray today. Lord, we thank You for this word. Such a vision of Your amazing power. How You can take desolation. You can take even beyond death and bring life back to the situation. So Lord, what we ask for today is that You minister and breathe life into each and every one of us. We want to surrender. We want to surrender. We want to surrender all. And we want, Lord, Your life to be in us and in every situation. Lord, there's folks that have financial need in our church, and I pray that You'll bring life of Your Spirit and provision outside of anything they've ever heard of. Breathe, Lord, that life. Healing and strength to our bodies. Lord, power to our spirit. Power in our lives. Your Holy Spirit flourishing within us, oh God. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here that would like prayer for anything? Would you stand? Let's gather in as a body and let's pray together. Let's gather by Henry and Sister Watson, and they don't have to gather. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Come on, let's come together like the family that God has made us. We belong to each other. Amen. We love You and appreciate every one of you. I don't know what the situation is, but we're praying for breath of the Holy Spirit today. Holy God, breathe upon us. Lord, minister your life in our church. And Lord, touch every individual life and every individual situation. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us right now. Strengthen our bodies, strengthen our spirit, and strengthen, Lord, our lives. There may be chaos going on. There may be confusion, oh God. And I pray that you'll clear the confusion and let your love and let your spirit direct. Lord God, bring peace. I pray peace in every heart and peace in our church. Peace, oh God, your mercy and your peace. By your spirit, oh God. By your spirit, oh God. Every day as we come to you, minister to us. Bring revelation of who you are. Direct us in our prayers. Direct us in our worship. Help us, O Lord God. We depend upon you. We give our all to you, and we pray your strength right now. Your very present help in the time of need. Shora makanda. We love you, Jesus. 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 Karamasuramata. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Shake hands and be friendly, and like John said, love one another.